All right. Welcome to Night Church. So good to be here, isn't it? I love the night times. Nothing against the morning. I'm just more of a night owl, I think. But since having a baby, it's just, I have to be a morning person. So can everyone, like, should I wear a hat or no hat? Hey? Oh, no, I don't want to show my bad hair. I got hat. Yeah, thank you. Now, I just have to forewarn you, I am trying something new. I don't have notes, so I'm just stepping out a bit in faith. I went to a preaching workshop and the guy's like, don't use notes. But I'll remember, don't worry. But it is my honour to be here tonight, and I just want to say first off, actually, thank you to Kathy. Wasn't she amazing just leading us in worship? And thank you just for being awesome parent-in-laws and remember me in your will. I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. Bring the notes back. It's an inside joke, but I'm so excited just to be here and just to worship. Like, there is nothing like being in his presence. Because at the end of the day, like, I could preach until the cows come home, but if we don't actually experience Jesus, what are we doing? It's all really about encountering him. And, so I actually want to create a bit of space at the end of this. So I'm actually not even going to talk for that long. So it's okay. But yeah, what I do want to just briefly touch on tonight is I actually want to take us. Yeah, sorry. I don't actually have a joke tonight. Does anyone have a funny joke? Okay, that's fine. A camel with no humps. Well, Humphrey. Okay, awesome. Humphrey. Thank you for that. I always like to tell a joke because I think sometimes we're a little bit too serious. And it's good to have a laugh. It's like medicine for your soul. But tonight, I want to take us to the Old Testament. Ooh. And I don't think I probably ever preach from the Old Testament enough or talk about it. But if you don't know, like, the Bible is split up into two sections. You have the New Testament, which is when Jesus comes, and the Old Testament is pre-Jesus days. Okay? So I actually want to just briefly share on the story of Abraham and Sarah. Does anyone know that story? Yeah. Most people probably heard about that song in kids' church. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father. I don't actually know it because I didn't grow up and go to kids' church. But full points to you if you can sing it. No. Oh, wow. They actually know the song. Okay. So I want to just talk a bit tonight about the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now, God gave Abraham a promise. And many of you probably know the story. God actually promised Abraham that he would one day have many kids and he would be the father of many nations, as the song says. And it's really cool because God actually appears to Abraham in a dream. And if you want to look this up later, because we're not actually going to read through it verse by verse, because otherwise we would be here until like tomorrow. but if you did want to look it up, and I do encourage you to check it out, it's in Genesis chapter 15, and it kind of finishes at about chapter 21. That's when Isaac is born. But God promises Abraham that he would have children. And he appears to him in a dream. And how cool is that? Like, I've just been actually having lots of dreams where I feel like God's been appearing to me lately. It's really cool. So God appears to Abraham in a dream and he's like, you're going to have children. And Abraham's just like, what? Like, hello? I'm like, he was like maybe around 75. His wife was like 65. Like, they ain't having kids, right? who knows, maybe you can have kids at 65, I don't know. But then he's like, in chapter 15, around verse 4, God actually specifically says, no, you're going to have kids. And Abraham's like, what do you mean? Like, do you mean like one of my servants is going to become my heir? That's what he was thinking. And God's like, no, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a son. Abraham's like, oh, okay. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I have like a cool dream, I always talk about it with my wife. And we discuss things. So this is just Brody's interpretation, like read the text and whatever, but I get the sense that Abraham probably would have discussed that dream with his wife, Sarah, at the time. It's like, hey, God gave me this dream. We're going to have a child. Sarah's like, okay, like I'm 65, you know, what happens when you get to 65? You don't have kids, right? So, you know, she puts on a thinking cap. She's like, oh, I know what you can do. You know Hagar, my servant? She's worked for us for about, you know, her whole life pretty much. She's young. She's fertile. Why don't you have sex? There, I said it. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. And Abraham's like, okay, like, okay. And then you can read it. You can read it. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. And then she falls pregnant and they have a kid. They have a kid named, who knows his name? Anyone? Ishmael. So Ishmael is born. And then fast forwarding it another, I guess, well, it's about 20 odd years. So they have Ishmael. And then God's still like, no, that actually wasn't what I had planned. Fast forwarding 20 years, they had to wait another 20 years until God's promise actually came through and they had Isaac, and Sarah fell pregnant with Isaac, which was a supernatural miracle. She fell pregnant at something like 100. How crazy is that? But here's the thing, right? I think, like, well, what the heck does this story have to do with anything? A lot. It's kind of, I think, obvious what the issue is here. That Abraham and Sarah had a promise from God, and they, in some sense, actually acted and tried to almost help God out, help God to fulfill his promise. But by taking things actually into their own hands. See, Ishmael was actually born of natural striving. Like, it was just a natural thing. And this is an interesting fact. I was reading my Bible and I have an awesome commentary. And it actually says, back in the day, like back in their day, it was a normal thing. Like, if you couldn't have kids, it was quite common for the woman to be like, oh, here's my servant. Like, you know, let's have an heir through my servant. And it was a very natural way of actually, you know, continuing your family line if you couldn't have kids. And here's God saying, well, actually, I have a promise for you. Yet here they are, like trying to take things into their own hands, almost trying to help God out in a sense. Yeah. So how does this relate to life? I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I feel like I could help God out sometimes. But then I'm reminded, God doesn't need my help. God is God. I'm not God. And actually, I'm just even thinking, like, just, do you guys all know Job in the Bible? If you don't know Job, it's such a great story. He was such a righteous, holy guy that, you know, the devil's like, oh, let me tempt this guy. And then God's like, okay. And then some stuff happens to Job. And then he ends up and he's like, it's actually, why God? I'm like, do you ever have those why God moments? I do sometimes. But God's like, bro, did did you make, were you there when I made the universe? Job's like, oh, I guess I wasn't. So what I'm trying to say is like, God is God. We're not God. And like, hear this in the right way. He doesn't need us. He wants us. Can I say that? Like last time I read my Bible, which is every day, but it says Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's not about me or you. It's about Jesus. I just want to say that. It's about Jesus. He builds his church. So anyway, just thinking about that, how we sometimes try to take things into our own hands. I have some very great life examples. So most of you know my story, and I want to actually share another part of my story. So growing up as a young guy, I was, you know, full of testosterone, young guy, like just loved like playing with my little Action Man figurines, and I was obsessed. I wanted to join the Defense Force when I was a young guy because I thought it was exciting. I love adventure. I love, you know, I would go bungee jumping if anyone ever wanted to come with me. Straight out, or jump out of an airplane, you know, go parachuting. I love all that stuff. So like joining the army, that was like my childhood dream. And growing up, I knew like that kind of wasn't where God wanted me to go, but I still ended up applying. I was like, nah, it's all good. This is what I want, you know. God gives you the desires of your heart. Yeah, I desire this. But I didn't really bring it to God or pray about it. It was just like, oh, this is such a great dream. And then I just went for it, and I ended up getting rejected. I was like, oh. And then you'd think I'd learn my lesson and be like, oh, I guess God's kind of calling me in a different direction. I was like 19 at the time, so I had quite a strong relationship with God. But I applied again. I was like, no, I want this, God. Let me have this. And then I found out you're partly colorblind. You can't join and you're asthmatic. So it's like, oh, that sucks. And you'd think I'd really get the message, like God was closing the door there. But I applied again, a third time. Ask Rainer about it. I was like, oh, I've got my music degree now. Surely I can join the army. Surely I can just play music. I mean, you don't need to like just shoot anything. I could just rock up and play and it will be all good. So I applied a third time. And guess what happened? Rejected. Yeah, it really hurt. Really hurt. I was like, God, why? Why, God? But I knew God was leading me somewhere else. And I was like trying to do things over here. And I think it's interesting how many times we try, like when things happen, we go to our natural ability. Like we go to what makes sense naturally instead of actually going to God and believing that he's the God of the supernatural, that he can move, that he does the impossible. Like we're so quick to just go, oh, what makes sense? What makes sense? Yeah, let's go over there. I'm guilty of this. Like I'm a work in progress. I'm trying to be better. Like, and it's very real for us today, like living in Sydney. House prices are awesome. I just keep going up. But part of me wants to just be like, get out of Sydney. But I know that God's put me here, and I know that I can trust him because he's the God of the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. And my prayer lately has been, God, we'd love to own a house one day in Sydney. I'm just putting that out there. And I don't know how that will happen. It has to be a miracle from God, obviously. There's lots of things I'm learning to trust him with. Yeah. So this is where I'm just going to nod for a little bit because I don't have my notes. Yeah, and sometimes God comes through at the last moment, doesn't he? Like you're praying. Like we're reading an awesome book called Draw the Circle. And there's a section that he talks about praying for versus praying through. And sometimes we've actually got to just keep praying through things. And sometimes God moves and you pray for something and something does come really quick and miracles happen. But sometimes we've actually got to pray through things and keep persevering. And I guess just sharing a story of this one time when I really went out on a faith step was I was actually at a conference, and I actually got a word from the Holy Spirit. He was like, you're going to meet someone who has the same shoe size as you and you're going to give him your favorite jacket. I was like, what the heck? That just sounds absolutely ludicrous and crazy. And I just parked that like on the shelf. I didn't know what the heck that was for. Then fast forwarding in about 6 months, I meet this guy who walks into our church, homeless guy, like living on the street. He has the same shoe size as me. I'm like, oh, what, is this a coincidence or was that the word that the Holy Spirit gave me ages ago? I really felt it was from the Lord. So I gave him my favorite jacket. It was my favorite super dry jacket. I loved that jacket. It was a struggle to just let it go. But I gave it to him and I was actually able to share Jesus with him and I got to have a coffee with him. And actually, this is quite sad. He actually passed away the next day, right? But how crazy is that? Like, you just never know. Like, you put your trust and you just step out. You step out. Because it's so easy to want to just default to the natural. But I think that's the beauty of being a believer in Jesus. You have the supernatural. And I'm not going to talk for very long because I actually want to create space tonight where we just go a little bit deeper and encounter more of Jesus, because that's what it's really all about. And just been meditating on that verse, Matthew, I think it's in, I probably got it wrong, it's around Matthew chapter 23, but Jesus actually talks about, come to me all who are weary, who are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. And I think sometimes as young people, like, we can tend to fill our lives up with a lot of stuff. Like we got school, and we got like extra activities, and we got like university. And like, don't get me wrong, when I was at uni, I was like fully into it, involved, and like, but there was a part of me that would not let go of going to church every week. I was just committed because I knew I needed Jesus. But sometimes it can feel like there's a lot of pressure coming from the world that we live in. Pressure of work, you know, relationships, finances, and it can sometimes feel like it just pushes you down a little bit. I don't know about you, but I definitely had times where I felt, ugh, weary, burned out, like ready to just collapse. It's like I'm taking a holiday tomorrow, so it's good. But I know that when I actually take the time to spend with Jesus, because that verse goes on towards the end and says, it's actually my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know, it's actually meant to be easy to be a Christian. There's meant to be a lightness about it. It's meant to be joyous. There's meant to be an overflow of joy, of love, peace. And I think sometimes we don't always experience that all the time because we're not quick enough to actually come to God with all the stuff that's going on in our lives. We kind of default to the logical, I want to sort this all out by myself because I like sorting things out by myself because I feel good about myself when I sort it out, because I can like give myself a pat on the back and be like, good job, Brady. When it's like, well, actually God wants me to bring all of that to him and sort it out with him. And I think maybe that's why I don't experience the lightness, the easiness, and all of that stuff that comes with following Jesus, because I'm not quick to actually come to him with all the stuff that's going on in my life. Does that make sense? So that's it. That's all I wanted to share tonight. Pretty quick, but I actually want to challenge us. Like, I think we all have little areas that we can often hold on to. Like, that we actually might be ashamed of even bringing to God. But the beautiful thing about the gospel that I love Romans 8, it says there is now, which means right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we actually don't have to be afraid when we come to God, because he sees us as righteous, as holy, as his children. So we don't always necessarily believe that, but that's part of, the Bible says actually, you got to work at believing. Work at believing. So I just want to encourage you guys, and I want to actually just open up, I don't know if you call this like an altar. From where I am, it's kind of, I guess, Pentecostal. They say, come to the altar. But I would like to challenge you. Like, if you have stuff that you're just really holding on to and you're like, I'm trying to figure this out by myself, and you actually want to bring that and just lay that at the feet of Jesus and ask God, like, what do you want here? What would be your wisdom in this situation? Do I need to let this go? Is there some kind of offense that I've allowed to get into my heart that I need to just leave at the altar and just lay down at the cross? Is there some kind of unforgiveness in me? Oh, that's pretty rough. So I actually want to just, I guess, open up the altar, and I have asked a few people to come and actually pray with you if you would like prayer. I'd just like Kathy to lead us in one more song. But I want us to really press in to Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Like, you got to encounter Jesus for yourself. And part of the reason why we have music, I think music is an awesome vehicle that opens our hearts. Like, music can speak to your heart, I think, more than possibly a sermon. I said it. When you go home tonight, you're not going to remember what I said, I can guarantee. But you'll remember a song.